If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is James Little. He's been fascinated by travel ever since his parents brought him and his 3 younger brothers on the road trip of a lifetime in 1977. His book, Six Littles Go a Long Way, details how one family joined the 1970s overlanders on a 15,000-mile journey halfway across the globe. His father, Julian, is also with us. How are you both?
We are good. Thank you, Hannah.
Oh, it's great to have you both with us. Thank you for joining us. So let's start with you, Julian. What were you doing? I mean, how old were you, you and your wife at the time and your kids when you did this?
I was, I suppose, 32, 33. Becky, my wife, was 29 or so when we did it. So a long time ago, yes.
And how old were the kids?
Well, James was 7, Mark was 6. Peter was, he was 74. He was 75. Yes, he was 3 years. Yeah, 3 years old, and Andy 6 months old.
Wow, quite a thing to take on. So, what inspired you to do such a long trip? You went from pretty basically Australia to England, didn't you?
That's basically right. Yes, indeed. Well, Becky and I had always been very interested in travel. We often thought about doing an overland trip, but it always been a pipe dream because the cost would have been prohibitive. But we worked in Australia for a while and I did a bit of private practice, and suddenly money was no longer much of a problem. The problem was that we now increased our family to 4 sons. Should we do it or not? Well, we were going to do it with 1 kid, so why not do it with 4 kids? We convinced ourselves. Rather naive, I suppose, but in those pre-internet days, research was very limited. And had we known about the dangers and problems that we might encounter, would we have done the trip at all? In a way, I'm glad we didn't. We weren't too aware, or otherwise we'd never have done this incredible trip.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the differences between doing a trip like that then in 1977 compared to now. I mean, there are certain places that you went to then that you wouldn't even been able to cross the border now. So you won't theoretically be able to do the same trip now. So it's amazing you did it when you did.
Yes, that's quite so. Yes, indeed. We are very privileged to see some of those countries, which are now closed to overlanders.
Yeah. So without internet and phones and things, obviously a lot of young people today will think, well, how on earth could you do a trip like that without GPS? But of course, back then that was perfectly normal and that was all that we knew. So how much planning did you do before you left?
Oh, quite a bit of planning. As I say, the research was limited, so we don't know too much about the countries that we're going to go through. But we had all our inoculations done. We'd collected a whole load of dehydrated food and tinned food to take with us. We took a huge medical kit with us. So there was quite a bit of planning involved, certainly.
Yeah. So, James, you were seven when you did this trip, is that right?
Yes, I was, yeah.
So how much do you remember? I mean, you've obviously been writing notes and memories about this. I know it all started on Facebook before it became a group. So you obviously remember, before it became a book, sorry. You obviously remember a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, writing the book and writing up the diaries, which the book is half the diaries and half my own recollections and input from, you know, others on the Facebook blogs and what have you. But I did have some memories, but they were blurry. And actually, you know, the experience of, you know, pulling this together into what I thought was a story worth telling has really helped me to, you know, to remember more. It's been a fantastic experience.
It's a funny thing, memory, isn't it? I know my parents have told me so many stories from when I was younger, similar age, 5, 6, 7, and you don't remember them. But when the more you hear the stories, the more you kind of take them on as memories. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it was quite an experience, and it brought back, you know, lots of things that I thought, even just writing up, you know, mum and dad's words, you know, just and then, you know, one of our companions, travellers, Diane, through the Facebook blogs, actually, she was a nurse that dad used to work with in Cairns. And she travelled with us, and we dropped her off in Nepal. But she sent me her diaries. So, you know, that added another perspective. And she wrote about things that Dad wouldn't necessarily have written about. Mum didn't really write a lot because she was looking after four boys between the age of 7 and 6 months old. One, you know, 6 months old, but still in nappies. So,
quite a lot to do. You mentioned, Julian, about the dangers of driving in the outback of Australia, which was one of the hardest parts to the trip. I've done a bit of that myself, but obviously much much more recently. And what was it like in the 70s? Why did it feel so dangerous?
Well, I don't know. We actually went through the proper outback because the road across the Nullarbor had recently been paved. And although sparse, there was traffic. And if you'd broken down, things would have been, you would have coped. But we had thought about going to Perth through the outback and via Alice Springs. But that we considered far too dangerous. At that time, the outback was really wild. Roads were often just sandy tracks, easily get bogged down in, especially in with a vehicle with no four-wheel drive, as we had. Then other dangers in the outback would have been getting lost, lack of fuel, running out of fuel, running out of water, and the excessive heat. And those kind of dangers I considered were far greater than, and they were far greater than what we ever experienced on the road through Asia.
Yes, no, fair enough. And you spent a lot of time in India, and that was, again, was a really scary moment, celebrating the Holi festival, which is supposed to be a joyous celebration, but you were quite fearful. It ended up getting into a bit of a dangerous situation for you all.
Yes, I think that was one of the worst moments of our trip. I really was concerned about our own safety there. The Holi Festival is supposed to be a festival of friendship where powdered paint is thrown over each other. We ran into a group of hostile youths who threw enamel paint at the van. And then when I tried to manoeuvre out of the way, they pushed a paint cart in front of us, and I tried to bulldoze the paint cart away with the bull bar in front of our vehicle. Then they really got mad and started rocking the van backwards and forth, and I really thought they were going to overturn the van. It was very scary, I must say, but we did manage to escape eventually.
Oh, well done. Gosh, that's awful. And one thing for you and your wife to go through that, but when you've got four young children with you, it's an extra responsibility and worry, isn't it?
Oh, most certainly. Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah. But nothing scared us so much as that incident, I must say.
And in terms of highlights, what were some of the highlights, Julian? What went really well, would you say?
I think I have several, quite a few memories of beautiful things. Seeing the Taj Mahal as the sun was rising, for instance. Riding up to the Amber Fort on an elephant, things like this. There were some lovely things. Are memories, I must say. But it wasn't all good. We had some bad moments as well.
Yeah. And have you ever done anything remotely like this since?
Yes. I mean, my wife Becky was diagnosed with mesothelioma and eventually died of the tumour. It's a tumour due to asbestos, inhaling asbestos. And when her chemotherapy was not working any longer, she said, let's chuck it all in. I'm going to stop the chemotherapy, stop all treatment, and let's go and do another trip. So we got a vehicle from a friend in the States, and we toured around in it was a flatbed truck, which had a camping unit bolted down on the back. And we toured all the way around the States and Canada. So, yeah, that was another incredible adventure.
Oh, how wonderful.
And seeing all our old friends and acquaintances out there, that was something Becky really wanted to do before she died.
Yeah, very special. And James, you've obviously got the travelling bug because you've been living in Singapore for quite a few years now. What took you there?
Yes, we moved here in 2022 with my wife's job as a teacher. And that's actually partly why I wrote the book, because I wasn't working at the time, so I had time. And I realised that it was 45 from when we left Adelaide on Halloween 1977, and that we would soon be passing through Singapore, which was a city state that I was now living in. So that kind of inspired me really to start the blog, actually, to see, you know, as research for the book. And the blog was happening on Sunday after the previous week on the same day, because we left on a Monday. Monday the 31st of October, and it was a Monday the 31st of October, so I was able to write the whole week up and then get feedback from friends and family, people who had either, you know, traveled with us or we'd visited, or they've even people who just had experience in similar places. So it was a really great way to get feedback, and you know, I sort of used that as a sounding board really as to whether I should go ahead and write the book. So sort of 3 years later, I'm really pleased that it's being published. It was published yesterday. It was launched yesterday.
Oh, fantastic. And how lovely that you got so much response from friends and family around the world. It became quite a collaborative project.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I didn't, you know, I'd never written a book before. I didn't do it to become an author. It was such a formative experience for me at the age of seven, you know, that it's really shaped my life. And, you know, I wanted to tell this story, especially before my dad pops his clogs, so he could sorry, Dad.
He's right there, James.
No, it's good. Done it in time.
Well done. Yeah, Julian, it must be lovely for you to read it and be part of the publicity for the book and to be talking about the trip again.
I think, yes. I haven't received my copy of the book yet. It's
James.
Certainly on order. And
well, I'm just poor dad. I'll order you one through Amazon.
I certainly look forward to reading it when it does appear.
Yeah, lovely. Well, it's been an absolute joy to chat with you both. Thank you both very much for joining us, Julian Little and James Little. The book is called Six Littles Go a Long Way. Great title. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by James Little, who we've been chatting with today. Thank you both so much.
It's
Thanks
a pleasure.
Anna.
Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Talk Radio Europe.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.